Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. This is Chuck. I know it sounds a little weird. I'm the one who's hosting tonight. John's not in, and it's me and Keith.
John, we could get things started on time without John.
Of course, we don't have to wait for him.
Although, Chuck, your intro, just a few notes. I'd like to punch the NBA podcast.
You're the pig vomit of Fast Break Breakfast. That's who you are.
NBA podcast.
NBA podcast.
I like to hit the, because we hit it right with the music. Try to get
WNBC.
Although here, a little behind the scenes for our listeners, there's no music while we record.
No.
Yeah, so that's why Chuck is doing this more like an after hours late night, and it is late night.
Yes.
The babies are asleep.
I've been drinking since 2 or 4 or 6 hours ago.
Right, right. Chuck has come over in the under the blanket of night.
Baby dungeon.
We're in the baby dungeon. We're live from the baby dungeon. We've been talking about, I went on another podcast and they were asking about the baby dungeon.
Really?
It's become a thing.
People are wondering about it. They ask, what's it smell like? You want to know what?
Not great.
Baby formula.
Yeah.
It smells like spilled baby formula.
So John is, here's a bad thing for a podcast. John was put on vocal rest.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently John's a musician.
He sings.
And...
Kind of.
Producer was saying that he needs to be on vocal rest, but we're gonna. He's in New York, I think. Where is he?
He's up in upstate near Syracuse. He's
upstate New York.
For those hip hop fans out there, he's actually recording in the same studio as Run the Jewels. Put their first two albums out at. So it's an
interesting have thing. Heard of Run the Jewels. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you if I've ever heard a Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels.
I mean, would they be in FIFA 12? I feel like they'd be in like FIFA 15.
It'd be more of like a Madden 2015.
A Madden 20, yeah. So I'm not sure I would have heard him. Perhaps I've heard him in an NBA game. Would they play him during NBAs?
You might have caught him. You might have caught him in like a Colbert Report.
Okay.
A Tonight Show, maybe a Conan.
I'm not sure. No, I haven't watched. Yeah, I haven't watched that late night.
They're the young kids. They're 40-year-old men making music for college kids who hate their parents.
That's the dream.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm.
That is
for.
The dream.
That's what we're making this podcast for.
So Chuck. Tell me, did you have, it is late at night, but can we go all the way back to breakfast? Did you have breakfast today?
I did.
What'd you have?
I've been slacking.
You've been slacking?
I know this season.
You've been losing weight, but so you fell off the wagon?
It's just my time's become far more precious, and I eat in my car when I don't have time.
But yeah, I gotcha.
I try to sit down and be healthy, but I've been eating in my car, but today I had 2 cheese-filled hot dogs. From the Tiger Mart. I was filling.
How do they get the cheese in there?
I don't know. One was a pepper jack.
Is it like a corn dog where the dog is cheese? Or is it just like little streaks of cheese throughout?
This is what happens, and this is how I think it goes down. They take like cold cheese and cold meat, and they just put it together. You know, like they mash it up cold.
Right.
And then they encase it in the hot dog casing. And then they cook it, and then when you eat it, it squirts out the side, and it'll get in your beard. If you're
so,
not careful.
Yeah, I would say so. Chuck, you and I both have beards. Yeah. Many people know that. Mm-hmm. It's not anything without a fork is not easy.
It takes concentration,
and definitely in the car, I find it. I don't know. That's the thing I wouldn't do. Anything with an Uzi center, I try not to do.
You don't want to do it.
I mean, I've gotten pretty good at a Chipotle burrito, where you bite and then inhale.
Oh,
it's like a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. It's like
slurping noodles.
Yeah, you got to you got to keep the seal.
Yeah,
it's important.
But I ate these while I filled my car up because that's the only time I have to eat now.
Okay, but you're getting all busy.
Yeah, busy guy.
That's pretty good.
It is.
So we're not going to do, because it's just me and Chuck, we're going to do a few minutes, and then I think we're going to try to get John on the phone. But have you been watching basketball? Do you have any best, worst apologies? Anything you want to get to?
The best thing I saw this week. Steve Clifford being very nice and telling reporters that they're stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And there seems to be a common theme. Stan Van Gundy was asked about the coaching strategy of Tyronn Lue and said, it's really great strategy to put LeBron back in the game.
Yeah, yeah. He's fantastic. Like, he put LeBron in. It was a great move.
Great move.
Great coaching move.
So we've officially run out of things to ask coaches in post-game press conferences, and that's my best thing, is coaches just, they're all kind of tapping into a Popovichian kind of dick in front of a camera move, and I want every coach to be
that way. The Clifford one was good because it wasn't total exasperation, but it was just very succinctly spelling it out for you, like, listen, Miami's hit all their shots, and it's not necessarily that we're doing anything wrong. There's a good chance that, and I'm wildly paraphrasing,
right,
saying there's a good chance that we want them to shoot the shots that they've been shooting. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we don't want them to get into the lane, and it's all starting because they're getting the lane. But also, I can't really comment intelligently on this until I watch all the game tape. And before you suggest a playing style or a switch of the rotation, are you watching the game tape after? Like, are you going back and checking all the, because like, he's like, I know more about my team than I think anyone. So, yeah, I mean, it was funny. And that is, it brings up the good point that the world is full of all of us podcasters and bloggers and writers, and we all have our questions. And then every game we like to be like, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do this?
And we want to get in the weeds. And at the end of it, there's a million things these guys don't know. And when you have the playoffs, you get more reporters who are not beat reporters for the team, and they're covering for the major paper because it's a front page sports headline. But yeah, it's silly.
Well, I thought your best thing would actually just be that the Heat haven't missed a shot.
Yeah, they're 100% from the field through two games. The twin towers of Josh Richardslow, the greatest rookie ever to live.
That was a very good, very prescient selection you made last week for your rookie of the year, and they have come through. The first playoffs game have not been too big for them.
No, they've both stepped up. I think Richardson and Winslow. No, they're one person. Richardslow. They've really kind of just filled the roles that Miami's built for them, and they're not asked to do too much, which allows them to really just excel in what they're asked to do.
Right. I don't have a very clearly lined up best or worst or anything, but one of the best I was thinking about was in the second quarter of game two, I think the Heat averaged 2.06 points per possession.
Mm-hmm.
So they averaged more than 2 points per possession.
Right.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, they've been lights out. It's a, and you ask yourself, okay, obviously they're not going to shoot 70%.
Right.
For a whole series. Not for the
Maybe
playoffs.
Not.
But, that sort of confidence and that sort of rhythm that you have, it takes you through a round or two, and it's most likely going to take them through the first round, and hopefully.
And I think this is a series that, again, it's 2-0 Miami, and the Hornets defense, which was good in the regular season, has shown no ability to stop the Heat at all. And speaking of, like, I wondered aloud if the playoffs would be too big for Josh Richardson. Uh-huh. Would his shot stop falling? The person who's the playoffs have been too big for so far, Marvin Williams, he's 1-for-17 so far in the playoffs. And he's one of the main cogs. He's having an incredible contract year, except now, where he might be undoing it all.
Steve Clifford needs to send him to Marvin's room.
I want to tell you, Chuck, about my breakfast.
Uh-huh.
I actually have been getting in a habit of actually eating breakfast.
So no Skittles?
No Skittles. I actually, I felt like I was getting some kind of horrific, perhaps body wasting disease.
Oh yeah.
So I really started feeling, you know what? I'm going to try not to have any more candy. But we've gotten in the habit of actually taking my kid over to the official coffee shop of Fast Break Breakfast, going over to Sam and Zoe's and see the official baker of Fast Break Breakfast, Lauren. We've been going there almost every morning. We're getting a little routine, and it seems like little buddy, Chase Buddy Budinger, enjoys his day better if he maybe gets a little sunshine, like real first thing in the morning, like running out.
Goes out and gets some vitamin D.
So we get a little food. So I had another strawberry buttermilk scone. So good.
Sounds incredible.
It's delicious. So
it does just also sound like a dessert.
Well, there's an icing component.
Of course.
And strawberries are the Lord's dessert.
They are.
Great. So have you seen, Chuck, any of these other playoff series or anything else catching your eye out there?
There's obviously that iShop-worthy Kevin Durant game.
Yeah, and we don't – there are so many incredible, horrible shooting percentage guys. Every Grizzly, is shooting under 25%. And then, as I said, Marvin Williams is 1-for-17. But Kevin Durant did iShop-ian throw up a 7-for-33. It was the most missed shots ever in the playoffs. It was the worst shooting percentage for anyone over 30 shot attempts.
Yep. You didn't expect that. I did think Dallas would win on the merits of one throwback Dirk game.
Right.
And they haven't had that yet.
It was a Raymond Felton game.
It was a weird
Raymond Felton game.
So, yeah, I think maybe Dallas has another win in their arsenal if we do get a 30-something point Dirk game where he just goes off. It could be a real, like, kind of weird series for Oklahoma, which to me kind of proves Oklahoma's – they're pedestrian now. We do hold them in this weird esteem from their historical kind of dominance over the past 5 years. I just think they're an above-average team that has really two good players that aren't as – they're not doing the dominant things they were doing.
I think we always keep wanting them to be more the Thunder.
Right.
And they put it together tonight. Again, we're recording this during halftime of the Rockets-Warriors game. Uh-huh. And they did put it together tonight to really just thump the Mavs. But the Mavs just look – I mean, they look beaten down. And they still – them pulling out that game, I feel like, shows everyone that it's like, oh, no, this is the same thing. Like, what's the difference between Scott Brooks and Billy Donovan? Like, nothing. This is the same thing. And it seems – honestly, Durant throws up a putrid playoff game pretty much every year. Like, there's always a game where he goes off. He's never had one this bad.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, it definitely has been – I mean, so to fall back onto one of our segments, my cream of wheat would be that these playoffs are atrocious.
Yeah.
Just horrible.
Super
just
chalky.
So boring.
Super chalky.
Everything, like, the series that we thought were going to be good, like, the Heat-Hornets series we thought was going to be great, it actually has been – it's been very entertaining.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like I find myself – I didn't know who I would be cheering for until the game started, and I found myself cheering for the Hornets, but they were just getting obliterated. Like, every game from start to finish, just obliteration.
Miami scored more points than they've ever scored in a playoff game, which is saying something.
Right. They had their most offensively efficient game they've ever had in playoff history,
so,
and that's no LeBron.
With no LeBron and no, Bosch, and that to me is kind of head-scratching because those are two very efficient players for their positions, and the only one that's left was Wade, who is during the Big Three era, the least efficient player of the three. And now they've kind of built this, and it's obviously an aberration. They're not going to shoot like that, but to have that sort of performance shows that their focus is there. And they, may be a player in the long run for the playoffs. I don't think they can beat Cleveland, but I think they can have an interesting, fun series.
Right. Then the Raps Pacers, which is one of the only competitive series, it seems like, because the Pacers took game one.
Yeah.
But even that, it's like, I don't feel like the games are, they're not fun to watch. I feel like we're watching some bad offense. The Raptors might be, the Pacers seem to depend solely on Paul George playing amazing. The Raptors are still trying to figure out their rotation, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Their bench, the strength of their bench with Corey Joseph, Patrick Patterson is doing some good things, but still, DeRozan can't hit a shot. I mean, he's firing up.
Right.
He's shooting under 30% and almost 20 shots a game. So, I mean, all these are like the Celtics and Hawks we thought was going to be good, but Avery Bradley is out. That's 2-0. The Blazers Clippers has been miserable. So, yeah, I'm just down on it all. I hope we get some more excitement. I hope we get some of these 2-0 teams rallying from 2-0. Yeah. Otherwise, it really is.
It's going to be a yawner.
I find myself at night, I got eyes for other people.
Oh, you're watching Netflix?
As in, I start these games, and then I'm going to flip over to Netflix.
Right.
And then I'm checking the score, and I'm like, nope, the score's getting bigger.
It's not even interesting. I started watching playoff hockey, so.
Oh, my.
I know.
Although you get that Predators.
The Preds.
Stand with us.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
I don't know.
There's a Wendy's nearby that has Nashville Predators stand with us.
Okay.
And we're like, is that a thing?
Well, are they taking a stand against something?
I don't know.
I don't think so either.
That's what I'm asking you. I don't know.
I just go to the games with my friends and I get drunk.
That sounds perfect. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything you are looking forward to before I try to get John on the phone?
I'm looking forward to ads on NBA jerseys.
Ads on NBA jerseys is great.
I can't wait to find out what teams are, given what sponsors go for what teams.
I want to get a Bojangles Mark Gasol jersey.
Oh, man. I want, and that's my thing. It's like, I would like for an individualized advertising space. So like a race car driver can sign up and have their own, we can have each team have their own players pick their own sponsors.
Oh, like for each person.
Yeah. So
like a basketball reference page where just everybody gets to pick whichever one they want.
Right. Like, D'Angelo Russell, he'll pick a page that deletes phone messages.
Cyberdust.
Cyberdust, yeah. So that it's like maybe he'll get Snapchat.
Although I heard some... So the owners have approved the ads on jerseys.
Right.
However, they've announced that the customer jerseys, the jerseys they sell in the stores will not have ad-free. The ads on them.
But that's
so what's
not,
what's
not
the point
a,
of that?
It's not authentic.
Like if there's a Wendy's Kevin Durant jersey, I want the Kevin Durant jersey with the Wendy's on there.
Definitely, definitely.
That's like two references to Wendy's.
Ooh,
and happy about it.
Lance Stevenson could be sponsored by Hooters. He loves Hooters.
Does he love Hooters?
Oh, dude, oh, it's
yeah,
on our
your
Instagram.
Snapchat.
Yeah, his Snapchat's
right.
Like 30% Hooters, 30% shirtless selfies, and the rest him giving himself waves.
Are you happy that the Hack-A-Shack, they're going to get rid of it? That they didn't announce how they're going to get rid of it?
Or are they going to have an exploratory committee?
They're just saying by July they anticipate changing the rule.
You know, I'm torn about it. Part of me is like, if you can't shoot, you shouldn't. You know, you should probably be taken off the floor at certain points
yep.
of the game. Then the other part of it is, the actual joy of watching basketball is stripped away when people are
agreed.
Fouling at the beginning of a quarter.
Agreed.
You know, and that to me is just like, ugh, I don't want that. So, you know, competitive nature in me is like, no, that guy should, Andre Drummond is the worst free throw shooter of all time.
Right.
Guess what? You're now a liability, and if the rules state that, then you're going to have to be taken off the court. However, I want it to be good basketball, so I'm officially speaking out of both sides out of my mouth.
I don't like that I feel like, honestly, here there's too much transparency.
Right.
I feel like in the David Stern days, David Stern would get the coaches together and be like, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to make a rule about this, but stop it.
Right.
Just like, it's me yelling at my kid about throwing things at the cat.
Right.
No.
It doesn't have to
no.
be. It doesn't have to
no.
be.
No.
Or throwing the cat at things.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, it doesn't have to be, but and that's not going to happen. There's too many, Moneyball, Maury-esque, soulless kids.
Yeah.
Who just want to squeeze the numbers out so they can tell their boss, hey, the metrics say that that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So if you remove the ability to do it, then it may change that. So I'm hoping for
it. It might. All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for swinging by.
That's it. We're not going to talk about Thibs.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about Thibs.
Dude, Tibby's in the, he's going to the Wolves.
Yeah.
Five-year
50 mil.
It's pretty great. He's going to have front office control, which I'm not sure if that's good, but...
I think the world has decided that it's not the best.
It's never a good thing when a coach gets free reign.
You can't be a GM because you're coaching.
Yeah, that's another full-time job.
Right.
You now have accepted two
it's
full-time...
Like, it's like an 80-hour-a-week job.
It's that thing, what is it? The, president of basketball operations. So basically
he has
the last say in personnel moves, but it's
not fine.
His, and I get that, you want to, the old Parcells, you want to cook with the groceries you buy. And that I get that. But,
I don't, I want people to prepare the meal for me.
You want you want blue apron coaching.
Tell me what to make.
I get that. However, now, I will put my, faith in old Minnesota. Now Thibs is going to run those young boys into the ground, but they have years before that matters. I think you got a couple years before the legs start to wear on a Wiggins or a Levine.
I'm not worried about it. And I think Thibodeau's probably heard all of that and he's had a year to decompress that. And maybe he's thought about it and maybe he, maybe it's something he will adapt to and going forward into the future.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, there's also that, the Celtics scored 7 points in a quarter.
Oh yeah.
That was
just misery.
Just awful. There's just so many awful and crazy things that have been going on in the playoffs.
You say that, yet I still maintain so boring, such a disappointment.
Yeah.
I'm just perusing charts and graphs and free agent data and team building for the next year. We haven't even mentioned the Memphis Grizzlies. I'll try to, it's just the worst.
Down, not even.
I mean, the team's not even playing. Like, you can't even...
Yeah, the Grizzlies are almost as bad as Jamal Crawford winning six man.
Oh, that is. That's like the worst for everything.
Every person on the internet upset.
It made Twitter... I mean, honestly, we maintain that six man of the year, John and I were talking last episode, we prefer it to be someone who's not that good.
Right.
Like, if you're too good, it doesn't make any sense. Why in the world are you six man?
Right.
Like it's so... Should it's like the starting. It's the award for the best bad player.
Right.
And so, Jamal Crawford was up in there.
Yeah.
He clearly had one of his worst seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there were other better bad players.
Right.
But yeah, so it is pretty rough. Are you good? You got off your chest?
Yeah, I'm good, man. We talk ball. I'm good with that. So do I have to say goodbye now since I said hello?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
remember. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Awesome. All right, we're going to try to get John on the phone. But before we do, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. They are a must for NBA fans. They have apparel and art and all kinds of other goods. They're a subscription service. They have boxes starting at $14.99 a month. Enter the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and you get 30% off, and we get some of that money to help us keep the lights on in the baby dungeon. FanEssentials.net. Get all the essentials you need. John, you there?
I am. My whole band hates me now.
Where in the world are you? You're in New York?
I'm in Hudson, New York.
That's incredible. What is the noise in the background? Are you vomiting? Are you pouring out?
Sort of. That is an ARP Odyssey synthesizer and a very large and loud synth pop band.
Nice.
Hey, why not?
I feel like there was some splashing. So Chuck and I, we had a little talk. I think all you missed was...
slurring?
Chuck slurred around. He had some... Are you doing work? Now I'm getting a hammering sound.
I am walking up into the cathedral.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
You're in some fancy converted church.
That's right. I'm about to commit sacrilege.
Well, I hope not.
Well, the things I happen to say late at night.
Right.
And I've been drinking whiskey and wine all day.
You and Chuck both.
Well,
yeah, so Chuck
can't drink beer in the studio, even though I am now secretly drinking one away from my band members. Oh, I just got caught. I just forgot there are cameras in here. Beer's bad for the voice.
Yeah, they say everything is.
Not whiskey, baby. Not
all
whiskey.
All that warm whiskey and honey.
Oh, yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
So many teas.
Yeah.
So many exotic teas I've had. And they all have something. They all say something about throat. Because when I first got up here, we're like writing the songs and recording them.
Okay.
So you sing like a million times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also when I sing and play, which I typically try not to do because it makes me terrible at it, then I sing really recklessly then. So I went to do vocals like 2 days ago and couldn't do them and it was embarrassing. And I knew how the Dallas Mavericks must feel.
Look at you with your basketball reference.
Hey.
So have you been able to see, are there TVs in this church?
We've been pulling like 16-hour days, so I've seen no basketball.
So you've missed literally nothing.
That's what it seems. It's been really weird. I'm not watching any basketball. I just experience everything through social media and texts from buddies.
It is the first round of the playoffs has been best experienced just through the social media.
Yeah. Well, I've definitely followed along very closely that way, and you guys have kept me pretty well updated. And my insane neighbor, Lane, also keeps me updated. He's been informing me that Dwight Howard is trying tonight, and that's what makes him so hateable, is that when he tries, he's amazing.
Right.
And when he doesn't try, he's Dwight.
The Warriors and Rockets are in the second half right now. And, it's the Rockets are actually kind of trying. And some people are arguing, does that make it even more infuriating that they don't try all the time?
Well, it has to be the team chemistry at this point. Like, they must just not like playing with each other.
Right. Oh, definitely.
Because they have. I mean, I look at that roster and I would kill for that roster.
I don't know. I've made the comparison before that it just seems like the collection of the guys you want to play basketball with at the gym the least. Well, it's like the most talented squad, but it's like, this is not fun.
Yeah, because like you've got Pat Beverly, who's like the super annoying guy who like fouls too often and plays too hard when you don't need to.
Right.
And hurts people. And then he's the guy
diving at your knees for the loose balls in the Sunday pickup game. And you're James, like, whoa, yeah. Easy.
James Harden's always calling fouls.
Right.
And then Dwight Howard's like the big bully who calls 3 seconds on the smaller guy on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I bet James Harden calls travels too when he plays pickup against other people.
And then you got like Donatas Motiejunas who like shouldn't shoot as much as he does and should pass more, but just doesn't.
I'm going to stick up for Donuts. I feel like he's been stuck in a bad position, and Maury Ball tells him he's supposed to be shooting all these shots.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I bet you see him at the Y, that man just sets picks and just lights it up.
I don't know, man. When he gets the ball, he doesn't give it back.
it's the contagion of the unpleasant basketball.
Oh, yes.
You know?
It seems like we're getting some like fun, like 80s fire wagon hockey style basketball in some of the other series, at least. Maybe the games aren't that competitive, but they're high scoring. It was like 130 something to 105 in the Dallas Thunder series, right? I saw every player played except for Kyle Singler and Darren Williams, DMP, CD.
That series has been crazy because one of the only good playoff games we had was the Raymond Felton Mavs game where Kevin Durant couldn't hit a shot. And Ray Felton was crazy. And Darren Williams like had maybe a sports hernia, but like played through it for the first half and was really good. And that was high drama.
Right.
And then the classic, the biannual Thunder win it at the buzzer and it's waved off because it's too late on a putback.
Is this Dirk Nowitzki's Dan Marino moment where they get blown out in a series so badly he just retires? I know they stole a game, but they're getting trucked in the other ones.
Well, I don't know if that's what's going to happen to our Grizzlies if they're just going to take off.
Right.
It's like they don't even want to suit up. I mean, I know right now the Memphis people are all getting their home, trying to get the home court, trying to rally up. They're releasing the poor media people are releasing all the Believe Memphis videos and trying to get everybody hyped. But I don't feel like there's a whole lot of belief around the franchise. I think people are just want it to be over.
Standing in a cathedral, I can tell you right now more than ever, I'm pretty sure there's nothing to believe in. Nothing at all.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
There's a huge like facade, you know, like one of those giant arches at the bottom. I'll send it to you. It says, "And lo, I am with you always."
Right, right.
And I wish that it was not from Jesus Christ, but from Mark Gasol and Mike Conley. Please don't leave.
And I guess this can also count as our Grizzlies epilogue in this weird scattered episode. The good things that came on social media was Mark Gasol releasing him walking on the treadmill.
Dude, you sent that to me and I got fired up.
Yeah.
It was like I watched the end of Rocky IV. I was freaking out.
That was pretty great. And then also this week we've had multiple reports where NBC Sports like releases this thing that's like reports Mike Conley expected to leave, and then the report that's cited is a report saying a source says Conley might leave. So it's like reporting upon itself. It's citing itself as the report of he might leave, and that has become expected to leave. And that so
this sounds kind of like funny. This sounds like some Chris Broussard stuff right here.
It really is. It doesn't. It definitely seems like someone wrote this thing and now I'm just going to report it because someone else reported it. And
just tweet it and hope.
Exactly.
That's the Chris Broussard School of Journalism. Where did he go to? Like probably a DeVry or something? No, something very religious.
I don't know.
Some kind of Franciscan for-profit university.
So what do you think about the Scott Brooks going to the Wizards?
Out of the frying pan into the fire. Very hysterical. Very hysterical. Whitmania will never leave. We've gone I don't even have words for this. I guess they just like, is it because Scott Brooks has glasses and looks intelligent?
I mean, the only argument is, well, I guess not the only argument, but you think it's they're hoping for Durant and they like Scott Brooks and Scott Brooks seemed to be a good coach for a bad team. We always thought he wasn't good enough for a team to make the final steps.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe, but I mean,
I didn't think of the Durant angle, but.
Oh, that's the angle everyone's talking about. They signed,
he liked Scott Brooks so much.
Yeah, he liked him. I mean, I think there might be better ways to get.
I feel Durant. Like if Durant liked Scott Brooks, he would still be there. Like, or if he liked him that much, like they're not going to fire a coach that Kevin, if Kevin Durant walked into Oklahoma City Thunder front office and was like, you know, Presti, do not fire Scott Brooks. Do you really think he would have fired Scott Brooks? Do you think he was not even, I bet he was consulted.
It could have been. Yeah. I don't know.
There was a players only meeting with the top three players, which of course is KD, Russell Westbrook, and Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
Who I saw had his 20 plus points tonight. I mean, when they do that, they're going to be hard to beat. That's another thing. Like, why would Durant leave Oklahoma City? They finally look kind of like how they did when they had Harden.
Yep.
I mean, the first round sounds very dull, but it's about to be like powerhouses trading blows.
I hope it is. Actually, I hope some of this first round rallies. Do you think, are there any of this series that are 2-0 that you think the team that's losing can bounce
back? I sent you my betting slips, and it was like all the teams that were already up.
And then
Marco Rubio to win the Republican nomination. So what do I know? That was all that was on my betting slips.
Right.
Bunch of basketball and Marco Rubio.
I'm still hoping that I've been most disappointed, I think, in the Blazers. I thought they would at least put up a fight. And maybe when they get back to Portland, they can like finally get a win. But I don't know. I've been so down. I thought the Heat-Hornets series was going to be a knockdown dragout. And I thought the Clippers...
Josh Richardson.
Oh, yeah. No, Chuck couldn't shut up about him.
All-star.
Just going, oh, he's the best. and Luol Deng. Unstoppable.
First game, he led them in scoring, didn't he?
He was couldn't miss a shot. And then the Hawks' big three also has been pretty unstoppable. I mean, I guess they're big four.
That Avery Bradley injury totally devastated any chance the already slim chances the Celtics had.
It looks like the Celtics is a real bad. The Hawks are a really bad matchup for the Celtics.
Well, and Chuck pointed out that like I think the Hawks beat them by an average of like 7.5 points per game in all their matchups. So
yeah they were not.
It's probably just something they can't overcome because Millsap and Horford are quick enough and able enough to go guard that stretch four, stretch five that the Celtics like to do. So
right.
I can see how it would be bad. And then, you know, Celtics, they have, you know, a good defensive player in Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. But if they can't smother you and force all the turnovers, and I don't really think Marcus Smart alone is going to beat you, you know?
Oh, yeah, most certainly not.
Plus, what do you think about the Stevens, you know, kind of Celtics miracle, just happy to be there thing? You know, this is a team that knows it's a ways away and knows it's rebuilding. And, you know, it's not like the Hawks are desperate to win.
Right.
Because there are rumors of them blowing it up.
Right. Do you think the Hawks, I mean, and also the Hawks have just, like, the first game was still up in the air. I mean, a lot of that was because Marcus Smart was hitting his threes.
Right.
But I'm still curious if maybe, because one of these, I feel certain one of these series is going to actually become hotly contested. I don't think they're all just going to be crap, but, you know, who knows?
I mean, if Steph Curry stays out, I think the Rockets one probably has the best chance of it.
I don't even think, I mean...
Although it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, the Rockets blew whatever lead they have. I think when I last looked, they were up like 9 with going into the fourth.
Yeah, it's still as we talk right now, it's still single digits. Hey, here's an important question.
Yes.
While you're at the cathedral up in New York, did you have breakfast? Have you been getting breakfasts?
I have been getting breakfast. We get started at around 10 a.m. and finish around 4 a.m. So you got to start that.
Yeah. That's early for you.
It is, and it's very, very painful. And luckily, they wake me up last, and then and I always have my bagel with cream cheese waiting for me. It's been pretty lovely. My bandmates, they're very sweet. They always take care of me.
You're getting taken care of.
Hey, got to, man. I mean, this is the house. Do you know what this studio is? Such luminaries as Madonna and Lenny Kravitz. This is their place.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a guy named Henry Hirsch's studio, and it's crazy to be in. I'm surrounded by grand pianos right now.
Nice.
That's your thing. A little grand piano action.
That's my game.
But yeah, it's been pretty cool. But I won't lie, like it's some pretty serious sports withdrawal. I'm just betting on everything and just looking at the scores.
Right.
But just betting on every single game. That's some kind of compulsive behavior, I presume, to feel like I'm involved with the sporting community without watching.
Right.
Speaking of which, I heard Chuck had been doing a little wagering before he got there.
Sal, yeah, we didn't talk about it. He said he was doing some poker somewhere, but I don't know what it was happening.
It's amazing, an amazing morphing of what he was doing tonight, as we told him. Because I was supposed to, if I hadn't been recording, go to a Predators game with him.
Right.
So I asked him, I called him earlier today. I said, hey, man, when are we going to podcast tonight? And he was like, no, I got, and even before he could get the words out, I went, oh God, I forgot you're going to the Preds game because he has the tickets.
Right.
That I left behind. And then he's like, oh, no, actually, man, I got to do this networking thing.
Right.
For like entrepreneurial school networking thing. And then like, which you and I and he are bouncing texts back and forth. We're trying to figure out when we're podcasting. And then all of a sudden he sends us a picture of a stack of poker chips and like a cocktail.
Right. This is like the time he was it's like, I'm real busy. Can you send that email, Keith? And it's because he was getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
The whole day.
The listeners don't know, but I'm sitting up here in New York and like, I'm kind of supposed to be in charge of this record and I'm going outside to talk, or, you know, trying to get to another room to talk on the phone with you guys. And you're like, well, can I do Chuck first? And I was like, no, I need to get this over with as fast as I can. And then you didn't call for a long time. I'm sure Chuck was just like, nah, man, I gotta get back that poker game.
Yeah. He just took off and I got to get to bed. Cause I'm single dad. I'm single dad for days.
She finally left you.
Yeah.
Did you check the drawers to make sure she's coming back?
She's at a conference.
Oh,
and,
dear.
And so, yeah, I'm taking care of the kid. Although I got secret hopes he's going to sleep in late.
You need to check.
He's going to
check your wife's computer while she's gone and check her browser history and watch out for this. Seems innocuous. Look out for AshleyMadison.com. That's the one. I once left that up on my computer and left it up in the like kitchenette of our house or whatever, you know.
That's
and
pretty
I,
funny.
And I thought it would be just this hilarious joke.
Right.
Oh no.
Oh no no.
My old lady didn't see the humor in that.
Well, the good thing is I run the finances of our household, so I keep track of all the money and I know where all the money goes. So unless she's doing some kind of Jason Bourne off the grid thing. Like if she did a lot of foreplanning and has squirreled away a lot of cash, I think that'd be her only way to pull it off.
Well, hey man, I had best run.
Sounds perfect. Well, thanks for checking in and we will be back. Talk to you in a week.
Ta-ta.
All right. See you, John.
Bye.
All right. That about wraps it up. To make it official, yes, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes this week goes to Kevin Durant for his 7 for 33. So thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Follow us on Rabble. Once John gets back into town, we will do a playoff game on Rabble. And you guys also do your own Rabbles. There's a lot of these games that John Barry and Reggie Miller are calling, and oh my goodness, I do not want to hear them talk anymore. So I go to Rabble.tv to see who else is providing an alternate commentary. And so some of you guys should be doing that as well. Cool. So thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.